Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
1 week from Friday, we are back live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place for our next live show. Last time we had our best crowd ever, biggest crowd. Do not miss it. Holiday weekend. No excuse. So join us Friday, October 11th. Andy Blum is president of Andy Blum Communications. He served as communications director for Representative Michael Turner of Ohio. You can follow him on social media at AndyBlum.com. He's also a Minnesotan, so he knows Tim Walz, and he writes for BroadAndLiberty.com, where he has a piece coming out on the debate. Andy, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Rich. Thanks. Great to be with you and to my Jewish friend, Shana Tova.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Because Rosh Hashanah begins now.
Tonight, sundown.
Right, sundown. So, okay. All right. So we got to get you off the show quickly, obviously.
I got time for you, Richard.
You got time. All right, good. Let's, I don't know, is your piece live yet on broadandliberty.com?
It is live on broadandliberty.com now, and it's called Vance Shows Trump How It's Done.
Okay. Vance Shows Trump How It's Done. My takeaway from this was that J.D. Vance had a spectacular night. I thought Tim Walz had a very, very bad night. And I think it's very obvious that the Harris campaign made a huge mistake picking this guy. He's just
no
terrible.
No question.
Yeah.
No question. They should have picked Shapiro, and they didn't because right now he's busy celebrating the Jewish New Year.
Yeah.
And that's why they didn't pick him. I've listened to you a little bit throughout the day. Yes, Walz had a really bad night. It's really hard to picture a guy, Vice President Knucklehead, in the White House. It really is difficult. But here's what he didn't do. You really can't take any gaffe that he made from last night and put it in a television commercial. Maybe I'm a knucklehead, but it's really hard to take anything that he said and use it against him. It just, the vibe doesn't work. And this is a campaign run on two things, vibes and Donald Trump is a bad guy. And I thought Vance was excellent, but I thought he also left opportunities on the table. And one of them was the Tiananmen Square moment where he said he was a knucklehead. And Walz doubled down on the lie when he explained himself. He said, I got there that summer and misspoke on this, so I will just, well, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong in China during the democracy protest went in, and from that I learned a lot what needed to be in governance. That's his quote. Well, that's another lie. Walz was not in Asia during the democracy protest in China. He was in Nebraska. There's a contemporary newspaper from that time that shows that Walz was in Nebraska. So he wasn't in Hong Kong. He wasn't in Asia. He was in Nebraska. And if there was one time in the night, and I think it was good that Vance didn't attack Walz, that he spent his time focused on what's wrong with Kamala Harris. But if there's one time that Vance should have responded directly to Walz, it was when he doubled down on the Tiananmen Square lie. And he should have responded about, you know, you've misspoken about your rank, about carrying weapons of war when you were never in an active combat zone, about IVF, about your DUI, and I'm probably forgetting a few. You blamed, when you sat down with Dana Bash and spoke your 700 words during that interview, you blamed it all on bad grammar. Well, given the fact that you're running this campaign on blaming Donald Trump for everything and his character, you really have a problem speaking truthfully, don't you, Tim? It might have been the one time last night that Vance should have attacked him.
Yeah, well, let's think about that. I mean, from a strategic perspective, do you think the strategy was let's not attack Tim Walz too much because we want to make the focus on Kamala Harris and not on him?
Yeah, I do. And I think that was a good strategy. And I also think that Vance wanted to come out looking like a good guy and not look like the fire-breathing, horned dragon that the media has made him out to be.
Yeah.
And I think that was successful. But I think that was the one time where he really should have said, you know, Tim, you misspeak an awful lot for a plain-spoken Midwestern dad. You really have a problem with the truth. I think that's the one time he could have done it.
That's fair. That's a fair point. I see exactly your point on that. And I think with Tim Walz saying, you know, I'm a knucklehead sometimes, I don't know. I mean, you think that just came out? Was that spontaneous, or was that something that they rehearsed?
No, I think that just came out, and I think that's a huge mistake. I mean, really, can you see Vice President Knucklehead?
No.
What is he? One of the Three Stooges? Why, you knucklehead? I mean, seriously, who says that? You want to be vice president, and you say, I'm a knucklehead? It's okay to say, I made a mistake. I misspoke. I was wrong. I changed my mind. But hi, I'm Vice President Knucklehead. Should they win, you should forever hang that around his neck. I'm Vice President Knucklehead. Let's pray he doesn't become Vice President Knucklehead, and he's only Governor Knucklehead. He's my governor, and he is a knucklehead. He also lied about something else that was really important. You know, they spent the moderators love to rehash this abortion issue over and over and over again. Either Tim Walz lied, or he has no idea what he signed into law. Because on January 31, 2023, he signed into law something called the PRO Act. It stands for Protect Reproductive Options. He signed it into Minnesota state law. It codifies the right to abortion and other reproductive rights that are really pretty horrific. It guarantees that a, quote, pregnant individual has the right to decide whether to continue or terminate a pregnancy at any state without gestation, without limits during the entire 9 months. And it goes a step further. The PRO Act eliminates a law that was signed by a previous Democrat governor called the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. That law obligated doctors to take measures to save a fetus in case of a botched abortion. Walz went a step further by eliminating reporting requirements so nobody will know how often that happens in the future. Depending on which source I use, it either has happened 5 times or 8 times thus far during the Walz administration in the state of Minnesota. So it's really pretty horrific, and Walz denied it. And I haven't seen one fact checker yet say that Walz lied or was wrong or doesn't know what he signed into law. And it's a pretty horrific law.
Yeah, and I think actually the number's 8, if I'm not mistaken.
I've seen it reported as 5 and 8, and I don't know which number's true because I've seen credible sources reported as both.
So and this is it's a good point too, because I think that it's such an extreme position that it makes people really uncomfortable with how far the Democrats are on this issue. And there's a lot of people looking for a middle ground here on this issue, obviously, in this election cycle. And I mean, Trump is trying to capture that by saying no federal ban on abortion, we're leaving it to the states. And when you think about how extreme a policy like this is, I think it makes people cringe, except for the far left lunatics who, you know, who support this kind of stuff. And it also really undercuts the whole goofy Midwestern dad thing, that he's the kind of guy that would sign a law like this into law in the first place, right?
I think that's absolutely correct. And I understand both sides of this issue, both the pro-choice and the pro-life argument. What I don't understand is how anybody could be for late-term abortion. I just cannot fathom that at all. That's beyond my comprehension. And that's what this law does. It legalizes late-term abortion in all cases. Not in the case to save the mother's life, not rape or incest, which, again, I don't understand late-term abortion in the case of race, in the case of rape or incest. If you want to get rid of the baby because of rape or incest, and you tell me you want to do it in 15 weeks, I understand that point of view. Whether you agree or disagree, I understand that point of view. What I don't understand is waiting till the 8th or 9th month and going, you know, I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
That I don't understand. I just cannot fathom that at all.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right on that point, and I think people are with you on that. And this dodge by him on this is it's completely unacceptable. What about the part last night where he said that he's friends with shooters? I mean, I know that was a gaffe, but do you think that's going to come back and haunt him?
You know, that's one of the other points that I mentioned in my column that's on broadandliberty.com. I think it's just a misspeak, just a fumfit, but it is really cringeworthy. And I don't know that it's that big of a deal, but he's not an articulate, well-spoken guy. He is a goofy guy, and he really is the weird guy. Let me put it this way. Who came off as weird last night?
Yeah.
Tim Walz came off as weird. Vance came off as articulate, thoughtful, and well-spoken, and certainly not weird. And Tim Walz came off as weird. So, you know, that's really the problem. There was a whole bunch of things. What Walz's strategy was really, really much like what Kamala Harris did. It was you saw it in the first question. The first question was, would you support a preemptive attack on Iran by Israel? And immediately what Walz did was answer with his bio and then never answer the question. Compare that to what Vance did. And his answer was that, I'm trying to remember his exact words, but the bottom line was he said that we ought to support our allies and Israel needs to do what it needs to do. And he was okay with it. And my thought to that as I watched it was, which one of these guys do you think the mullahs and ayatollah are more afraid of right now? Who do you think they're rooting for?
Yeah.
They want to see Vance and Donald Trump in the White House. They want to see Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the White House. They're not afraid of Harris and Walz. They're afraid of Trump and Vance.
Andy Blum is with me right now. We're talking about the debate last night. Andy Blum is a communications expert. His latest column at broadandliberty.com about the debate. The other thing, too, is, I mean, and look, and you know, you've advised politicians over the years, body language, facial expressions, these things matter. There are so many memes that have been made of Tim Walz's deer in headlights look last night. And you know, I mean, I obviously these things matter, right? I mean, you remember the old saying about when you listen to the Kennedy versus Nixon debate on the radio versus watching it on TV, you had a different thought on who won. These things matter. And J.D. Vance looked really good last night. Everything about him came across really likable. And then Walz with that friggin' deer in headlights look multiple times and those bug eyes. And that's become a meme now. So, again, I think it plays into that goofball thing with him, and I don't think people are looking for a goofball right now.
Yeah, I can't imagine in these serious times where the world is literally on fire that you want Vice President Knucklehead. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
But I think in this case, you know, if you listen to the Trump-Harris debate, you probably came away with a better impression than if you watched it where Trump wouldn't look at her. But in this case, if you weren't watching it, if you had the sound down, and by the way, as I'm writing the column, I was listening to it again with my back to the television and wasn't watching it. If you were just listening to it and heard him say, I'm a knucklehead, and heard him say, I made friends with shooters, you also thought he lost the debate. He didn't win whether you were looking at him or whether you were listening to him. He lost on every account. I'll tell you what, Rich, I gave him a C instead of a D, and I was going to give him a D. But I'll tell you the moment that I upped him from a D to a C, and I'll tell you the worst moment for Vance last night, and it was the 2020 election moment where Walz came back and said, that's a damning statement. And I really think that Vance had him on the ropes when he started talking about censorship and the threat that represents democracy. But there was another opportunity there. You know what really is a threat to our democracy? What Harris and Biden are thinking about doing or trying to do with the Supreme Court right now. They're literally tearing up the Constitution and removing the checks and balances on our system. That is the biggest threat to democracy in 250 years, much bigger threat than January 6th was.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent observation. What about in terms of the handling of Iran last night by J.D. Vance? I thought that was a good moment for him when he talked about, you know, here you have Walz up there saying that Donald Trump's an agent of chaos. And J.D. Vance comes out and says, actually, you know, we had stability in the world. And I think people think back and think there was stability in the world.
Well, there was peace, prosperity. The country was better off. And where I thought Vance just hit a grand slam home run, where he nailed it, was with his closing statement.
Yes.
His closing statement was just a smash. really, really good. I really hope Donald Trump was watching that debate and really looking and listening to what Vance did, because he effectively took apart the Harris campaign, and he effectively prosecuted Harris, and he effectively sold Trump's policies much better than Trump has done. Trump needs to stop making personal attacks and just make the case that 4 years ago, before COVID came, we had peace, we had prosperity, we didn't have inflation, the world wasn't on fire, and the media made it a point to make him into this villain when he isn't a villain. He may be an a-hole sometimes, but he also was an effective leader as president. And there's nothing better during these 4 years. Nothing. Inflation is worse. Crime is worse. The border is worse. Wars across the world are worse. Everything is worse. So when she says we're not going back, yes, we are. We're going back to peace, prosperity, lower prices, American energy independence. That's what we're going back to. We're not continuing with another 4 years of the chaos that we've had under the Biden-Harris administration. And she wants to double down on the bad policies. And when her approval ratings start to drop, all those policies from 2019 that right now she's against, she'll suddenly be for again, because that's what she knows. That's what she believes in. We do want to go back to no inflation. We do want to go back to a sealed border. We do want to go back to a world where Vladimir Putin is afraid to leave his borders because he doesn't know what Donald Trump will do. That's what we need to have once again. And we really can have it, but not if Kamala Harris is president and Governor Knucklehead becomes vice president.
Governor Knucklehead, I love it. Andy Bloom, thanks, my friend. I appreciate it. Check out his column at broadandliberty.com and follow him on X at andybloom.com. I'm sure we'll talk soon again, my friend. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Richie. Shana Tabah.